Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood, tips and tricks,
products we love,
and brands that we can't live without. Let's get into it. So as we record this little into the podcast, we are waiting Bojo, Boris Johnson. News tonight at 7 o'clock, George.
I've actually got butterflies in my stomach. I'm not even joking. To be honest, I've ignored all of the announcements for probably like the past 7 or 8 months because I just didn't hear it. But today I'm actually sitting here with butterflies in my stomach, just really, really want to hear that the schools are going back on the 8th of March. And I think they are. Like, I'm positive. I think they are, aren't they?
I love how upbeat you are. This is the same feeling that I got before I got my GCSE results. I just went out and drunk a load of, like, cider in the park. I don't know if I'm planning. I might do that tonight in the garden, actually, to be fair.
Go and drink a load of cider with Doz. Reminisce
about the good old days. No, yeah, fingers crossed for the schools going back on the 8th, because that's a massive thing. So many people are messaging us about homeschooling, just saying it is really, really tough.
Yeah, and actually, to be fair, like last week, although like some structure is nice, last week did feel like a break, like for me, and I know like other people who are homeschooling, it did feel like a bit of a break not having to do that. And coming back on Monday today has felt a bit like, oh no. But if all goes to plan, it's only a couple of weeks. And I think, should we just all make a pact that we all just won't do it together? Like, if we don't, if we all decide, let's just not do homeschooling for 2 weeks, then it's fine.
Georgia, you can't start anarchy on the podcast. No, you've got to get. What I thought you were going to say was, can we just make a pact that whatever the result is, we all meet up in person ASAP and go for a.
We all just turn up on the 8th of March and send the kids in.
Yeah. Somewhere, yeah. They can go in and we can. Yeah, have a natter and a coffee and a cake. Lovely.
Yeah.
Anyway, how was the weekend? Did anything fun happen?
Did anything fun happen at the weekend? The answer, oh, yes. We bought a trampoline, which was amazing.
That's the best 190 quid you're ever going to spend, by the way.
I don't know why we didn't get one before. Well, I know why, because last summer we couldn't get one. Like, you literally couldn't buy one anywhere. Everyone bought trampolines.
Really?
Yeah, I remember trying to get one. I literally just couldn't. And then Saturday night, I'd had a few drinks and I just didn't fancy parenting on Sunday. And I was like, I'm just going to buy one. So we went and picked it up on Sunday, but completely backfired because this morning at like 5 to 5, I want to say, could have been earlier. Oh, all I could hear from Gigi's room was going, jump, jump, jump.
No.
So at 6:10, I caved and she was on the trampoline in the garden.
That's so incredible. Well, it's getting lighter now as well. So it's kind of like the activities happen earlier on in the day. That's brilliant. But how nice was the weather on Sunday?
I know.
We got an ice cream from an ice cream van.
Me too.
Yes.
Summer in February. So good.
Oh, it's dreamy. It really was dreamy. When I saw one of my friends post on Insta going, just to let you know, if you haven't been outside yet, it's not coat weather, it's not hat weather, it's crop top and calippo weather. And I was like, I feel like you're taking it slightly too far, but I'm going for it. I'm going with it.
Why not? Exactly.
Why not? Why not? Exactly. Well, listen, we need to get on. Me and you will just end up nattering all for the next hour. So we need to get on with the podcast today, because today's a really, really, really special one. We are absolutely over the moon to be working with Guide Dogs for this episode. They've sponsored the podcast today, and that means we get the absolute honour of chatting to somebody, a lovely lady called Rachel, who has a visually impaired daughter called Nell. And it was such a joy to chat to her because she's so inspiring. And even though we didn't obviously get to meet Nell or chat to her in person, the stories that Rachel was telling about Nell, just like, you know, the things that she's had to overcome in her life and the daily challenges that she goes through as somebody who is blind and who is only 5 years old. I mean, admirable, inspirational, right?
Yeah, really, really is inspirational. And do you know what? This is one of our favourite things about the podcast, is that we get to have these conversations. But also, you know, if you don't know anybody, you know, who has a child that's visually impaired or has this kind of struggle, it's still really interesting chat because we've all been there, you know, like at the park when our toddler points something out about another child that might be different about them. And Rachel kind of made us feel a bit better about that and how we can handle those situations, because it's going to happen. It's what they do. And I think we all need to kind of learn how we can bring up our kids to handle those situations better.
Yeah, and also how we can handle those situations better. You know, for example, having the conversation with somebody about disabilities, you know, and like you said, it's all about education. And that, again, that this is what is such a kind of treat with the podcast, is that we really feel like we come away from it having learned something. So even if you don't have a child who has a disability, this will be the most informative chat. And hopefully you will come away armed with some new information and a bit of education. And that's all we want, really. So yeah, let's get into it. Who are we chatting to today?
Today we are chatting to the lovely Rachel Sutton.
So one of the best things about doing this podcast is how Georgia and I get to speak to all of these wonderful people, having all these brilliant and wonderful open conversations. And part of the podcast for us is about education and learning about different people from different walks of life with different, I guess, issues and disabilities and problems going on in their lives, and, you know, a range of people that we get to speak to. And today we are over the moon because this podcast is in collaboration with the Guide Dogs Association, and we are speaking to an incredible lady called Rachel, who is mum to three, Isaac, who's 13, Nell, who's 5 and is visually impaired, and Martha, who is 4. Rachel just told us that her husband Paul has been tech support and has set her up today because we're recording remotely. And we are going to be having a discussion around visual impairment. So, Rachel, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much. Hi, it's lovely to be here.
Did I say all that correctly? Because before we get into it, it's very, very hard to know if we are supposed to say that your child is blind or visually impaired.
I think different people maybe say different things. Like, as a family, we're quite relaxed, and we've wanted to sort of give now that positivity and ownness for herself of what she likes to describe, like, her disability as. And she just naturally says that, you know, my name's Nell and I'm blind, and she's quite comfortable with that. I think some people like to maybe refer to it as a visual impairment, or even just like a, you know, like, I have a sight issue.
Right.
So I feel like there's lots of different ways of saying it. And I think it's whatever you're comfortable with, really. We just naturally say, like, you know, I've got a child called Nell and she's blind.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're comfortable with that.
Okay, good.
Wow. Okay, brilliant. So I think we want to sort of go back to the start. Earlier before we got into this chat, we found out obviously that your husband Paul is blind. So when you were pregnant, did that, you had Isaac who's obviously not visually impaired, but when you were pregnant, was that a worry that you may, you know, it might be a genetic thing and it might have been passed on to your children, or did you just never, was that never a discussion?
I think it was a worry. I think it was more a worry, actually, when I was first pregnant with Isaac, because there just wasn't any tests that they could do. And it was quite a while ago now. So obviously, you know, there wasn't as much sort of technology as there is today. But I think because Isaac didn't have the condition, and this is actually just a condition that my husband and his twin brother has got, and nobody else in his family has actually got it, which is congenital glaucoma, we was aware that there was a chance, but we didn't really dwell on it too much. So, yeah, I think really when Nell was born, it was a shock as such. obviously, you know, we knew that there was like a chance, but as I say, we didn't really dwell on it too much. So yeah, it was a little bit of a shock when I was born that they told us that she did have congenital glaucoma.
Now, when Paul was diagnosed with this, he actually lost his sight in his teens. Is that right?
Yeah, he did. So he had quite good sight, actually, up to the age of 16. And that was when we first met, actually. So when we were 16. And then he lost his sight when he was 18. Which was quite a difficult time. He was at college, I was at uni, trying to juggle a long distance relationship, and he just went to sleep and then woke up the next day and his sight had gone. So yeah, he's only got light perception now.
Wow. I mean, that in itself is an incredible story, isn't it? So you'd had that experience with Paul, and then Isaac was born and his sight was fine. There wasn't any worries or concern. And then what happened with Nell, and how did you discover that she was visually impaired?
So we had a fantastic sort of, you know, array of doctors around us anyway, because I wasn't very well during the pregnancy. Now wasn't very well, and she was actually born by emergency caesarean. So they were kind of concerned anyway. So we were quite lucky in the fact that they were keeping a really close eye on her and me. But when she was born, visually, it was really evident that she obviously did have Paul's eye condition. Her eyes were really, really big, and very, like the iris was very big compared to the rest of her eye. So it was evident. And in a cute little thing, which Nell always likes me to talk about, because she loves me talking about when she was born and everything, I used to call her my little bonobo baby. She reminded me of a little bonobo. So yes, yeah, so it was just really evident. And then they did get a ophthalmologist consultant in to actually, you know, I suppose, put on the record that she definitely did have congenital glaucoma.
Right. And how was that, you know, for yourself and Paul? How were you feeling?
For me, it was mixed emotions. So obviously it was upsetting. I think I was more upset for Paul, really, just because obviously he was devastated, because it's something that, you know, obviously he has and that he's passed on to his child. So I think that was more my concern, really, just to make sure that he didn't, you know, sort of carry that guilt. Because obviously we'd both decided to have a baby together, and you know, in this life obviously lots of different things can happen. And the one thing I did say to him after Nell was born, that, you know, who better to guide her in life with this condition is, you know, her own dad, really. So, and that has been like a really positive thing for Nell and for Paul, really, as she's growing up. But yeah, I think it was hard, but also I knew that it was something that we would really be able to deal with, and it wasn't going to hold her back. And it was just going to be a part of who she was, not define who she was, but a part of who she was.
Talk to us about the first kind of year of her life, because as a parent, you know, Georgia and I have got kids ourselves, we know how tough that first year can be. So what were the challenges that you faced before the mobility experts went in and kind of tried to make her a little bit more independent, I guess?
The first year, I have to be totally honest, was really tough. She was in pain constantly for the first few months of her life. We were backwards and forwards to hospitals in London, because we live in Wales in a really small community, and there just isn't that level of care around our area. Yeah. So our nearest place really was London. And she was going through a hell of a lot, to be fair. So it was difficult, but eventually, with the help of our health visiting team, she actually got referred to Birmingham Children's Hospital, the ophthalmology department there. And they were able to really, really control her condition. Unfortunately, she did have to have in total 13 operations in her first year.
Wow.
So yeah, it was just hectic, to be honest with you. She is, I mean, it just showed us how much of a fighter she is, to be honest with you. A lot of those operations were to try and save, you know, the sight in her eye and trying to save her eye and things like that. So, it was a difficult time. But you know, we had excellent support around us from her consultant, mm-hmm. And also our local health visiting team. I mean, her consultant has been absolutely fabulous, and he actually said to us that he'd never ever would see an eye like Nell's ever again in his career. So she has got congenital glaucoma, but she's also got several other conditions with her eye, like several other abnormalities of her eye, they would say. So it's like the shape of her eye and the makeup at the back of her eye is quite unique. So they kind of, in a way, were working on the unknown when they were doing these operations for her. So we can't thank them enough, really. But yes, as you say, when Guide Dogs then got involved with Nell, it was just, you know, life-changing for us, really. It really, yeah, really lifted off then, everything lifted off.
And just before we get into, you know, how Guide Dogs have really helped you, how was sort of telling your friends and family that Nell had this condition, and how did they react?
I think because, obviously, of Paul, me being with Paul for such a long time, that they obviously were just really supportive, you know, really, really supportive. My mum was actually there when Nell was born, which was a great support for Paul, really, because I wasn't very well. So my mum really supported Paul in those first few hours after she was born.
What was wrong with you, Rachel?
I actually had cholestasis of pregnancy. So it was where my liver wasn't really working properly, and my body was kind of attacking Nell a little bit.
Right.
My body wasn't very well. And I actually had, I can't think of the name now. I actually had diabetes, like in pregnancy. So like,
right,
I haven't got
gestational
diabetes.
Yeah. That's the one. Yes. Gestational diabetes. I had a few things going on.
Yeah, I mean, you seem to have been hit with a lot during the pregnancy. So Paul's mum was there. Was Paul's mum there, or your mum there?
My mum was there to support him through it. So and then from then on, obviously, they were there to help have Isaac, because we spent most of the first year of Nell's life in hospital. So they looked after our older son while had to go backwards and forwards. Our family are incredibly supportive. They accept Nell and Paul for who they are, and even to the point now of, you know, sometimes they might forget, and I do it all the time, forget that they can't see. Because it's just, you know, it's a part of who they are, you know.
Yeah.
We hear so much on Made by Mamas with people messaging us in that, you know, anybody that has a child with a disability or has a disability themselves, they sort of struggle through life in terms of, you know, this like, oh, well, you know, my child's not normal. And which is a phrase that we hate at Made by Mamas, because it's just like every child is different and wonderful and unique in their own way. And I think it's really important, isn't it, to kind of focus on the fact that, yeah, okay, there is something different about Nell, but, you know, differences make people so special and wonderful. Were there any moments in those first kind of 12 months where you felt you weren't coping? And did you allow yourself to feel, you know, sad or any other emotions that might have come up?
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of the way that we've coped as a family is to be really positive about it and try and, you know, express that positivity to Nell. And, you know, we want her to be proud of who she is. Obviously, every parent wants their child to be proud of who they are, but we want her to be proud of who she is, and, you know, own who she is and own her disability. And, you know, that's really, really helped us through, definitely. And I think it's helped her cope with her condition a lot better, because we don't shy away from it. We've talked to her about it. We're very open. But I think for me as a mum, definitely there was difficult times I think more to do with when she has lost more sight. So in her first year, in her first few months of her life, she actually her eye perforated, so there was nothing that they could do, so she hasn't got any sight in her left eye. And then obviously the professionals, the consultants, have done everything they can to try and preserve her right eye as best as possible. But I think through those moments, you know, it was just really tough, really, really tough. Just, I think in a way, it kind of really made me stop and actually really focus on the fact that, yes, she actually can't see, you know, because to me, she's just my little girl, you know. It's not, yes, it's part of our everyday life, but it's not something that we focus on, you know, a lot, all the time. But yeah, definitely in that first year, I think because she was going through so many different medical procedures and operations, I think it really made me just realise how more difficult her journey might actually be growing up. And how much extra she's got to deal with, really.
I think anybody listening to this podcast that's going through something similar or knows somebody that's going through something similar will really resonate with that, that there are those moments, aren't there, where you actually think, well, you know, this is going to be a challenge for us as a family and for her as your daughter. And I really hope that sort of sticks with people that are listening. And then obviously there are so many amazing resources out there, but let's talk about Guide Dogs Association and that moment that they came into your life, I guess I want to hear about.
Yes. I mean, firstly, we are really lucky with like the positive support network that we have around now. And obviously, I realise not every family is as lucky to obviously have that. So I just feel like it's really important for people, parents, guardians of children and young people that have got a visual impairment, just to know that Guide Dogs are one of the charities that are out there to help you. Yeah. So we got involved with Guide Dogs from when, as you say, when Nao was about a year old.
And did you contact them or did someone put you in touch with them?
Do you know what? It was actually our local health visiting team who actually knew a qualified teacher for the visually impaired, who actually then got in contact with Guide Dogs basically on our behalf. So we were very lucky. It was more through people who knew, you know, obviously knew of them and knew of certain people. So you know, I think it's quite important actually to realise that a lot of people don't realise that Guide Dogs help families and children that are visually impaired and their families and young people. I mean, I was really, really surprised to actually read from the Guide Dogs research that 68% agree that there was not enough support to help parents when a child is diagnosed. And obviously, I can really resonate with that. You know, I didn't know, obviously, that Guide Dogs could be there to help us. So obviously, you know, by getting the word out, people might, you know that and be able to contact them. But yeah, I mean, it was absolutely life-changing for us, to be fair. We met Branwen, who is Nao's habilitation officer from Guide Dogs, and she was just lovely, just absolutely lovely. She really was. She's really positive about Nao's abilities for a start, and she was really eager to sort of, you know, get going, let's see what Nao can do. You know, that sort of positive attitude, get up and go attitude, which, you know, is what we really want for Nao anyway. I want her to be as independent as possible. And Branwen was just able to harness like Nao's independence. And I honestly don't think that Nao would be where she's at today at the age of five if we haven't you know, who wouldn't have had that help, because she's, you know, obviously got such a fabulous relationship with Branwen, and she's been able to introduce her to, you know, learning how to use a cane, and different like body protection techniques when she's out and about, so she doesn't bump into things and around school and things. So yeah, she's just done like literally so much, you know, and not just for now, for us as a whole family. You know, she's there to support, obviously, now educationally, and she obviously, you know, can do an individual plan that is suitable for Nell's needs. But she's also there, you know, to help emotionally as well. And throughout Nell's journey, it's just been lovely to be able to have, you know, somebody outside of the family to actually chat to and have that support.
Yeah, and I guess emotional support for you as well as mum, just kind of trying to figure stuff out.
Yes, definitely, definitely. I think also, you know, during obviously lockdown and things, it's been like a crazy time, obviously, for everybody. But also just sort of keeping that contact going through like via emails, and now's having like Zoom meetings once a week with her, which is lovely. She's learning new skills over Zoom. The other week she managed to learn how to open a packet of crisps.
Oh, wow.
It's just something that you just wouldn't even think of, you know. I didn't think of it really, because I think because she's got a younger sister, and they're so close in age, you know, you just sort of, because you're rushing or whatever, you just do the lunch for them. You open the crisps. You know, you just do, don't you? And then Branwen asked Nell and said, what would you like to learn? What's one skill you'd like to learn next week? And she said, I'd love to be able to open my own packet of crisps.
Oh. can she come around over Zoom and teach my son how to put his pants on? Because this is becoming an increasing issue in our house.
We'll be right back after the short break.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So welcome back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Where were we? This is interesting because I'm obviously having to do this with Kit, where I'm, you know, he's going to be turning three soon, and up at the preschool, they said, look, can you please just try and teach him how to get dressed on his own?
Oh,
like, it's something that I haven't done. And I'm like, oh God, should I have done it before this point? But I'm doing it with a child that doesn't have, you know, a disability, is not visually impaired, not blind, but still, it is a humongous challenge, So how do you even start navigating those tasks with, you know, with a daughter that is blind? It must be really challenging. It must be really hard.
It is challenging, to be fair. And I think for me, I'm even learning, because obviously it's different having like a blind husband than it is to having like a blind child, but also it's full of lots of laughs and silliness and things like that, you know. Sometimes Paul might come down with like his t-shirt on back to front or inside out, and we'll like have a bit of a laugh, and you know, he can turn around and say to Nell, well, look, I'm a grown man now, but I still get it wrong sometimes, so it doesn't matter, you know. So yeah, I think it's just taking the time and not rushing her, not panicking about, oh, she needs to know this by this time. And, you know, she still struggles with getting herself dressed, but our, you know, small wins in the past few months have been that she's able to, start to get herself undressed so she can take her own cardi off. She can undo the buttons, you know, on her cardigan. So it's just small things like that, really. I mean, honestly, I feel your pain because it's such a laborious task, I find, trying to get them to dress themselves. But I think once they crack it, then they feel so proud of themselves, don't they? And also her younger sister can do that. So obviously she's younger, so now can get a little bit jealous that like her younger sister can do it, but also it gives her the determination to keep going.
And how has it been for, you know, particularly your older child? You mentioned that the first year that, you know, Nell was with you, you were in hospital a lot, and, you know, he spent a lot of time with his grandparents. How has that been, and how do you kind of divide your time, I guess? I guess Nell probably needs a lot more attention. How do you navigate that?
As best as possible, I think, like anybody really. I mean, I do have to say, like, Isaac was absolutely fantastic. When Nell was born, you know, he got thrust into the deep end of not seeing his mum and dad, not seeing his new baby sister for a lot of the time. And he always has been the sort of person that he's just quite laid back anyway. So he just, you know, it was what it was, basically, and he just got on with it. And, you know, we're really proud of him for that because he didn't moan. And, you know, I think it's also helped shape the sort of person he is today.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. He's probably got a much deeper understanding of maybe some sort of different things that may have not come up unless, you know, if Nell, you know, wasn't blind, I guess. It's one of those ones, isn't it? It gives them a deeper level of understanding of the world, and things can happen.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's, you know, he's such a conscientious person. He's very caring and kind, and he's very aware, you know, as Nell's growing up and becoming even more independent than she already is. You know, he'll recognise things that, you know, such as, you know, does this crossing have the right, you know, safety aspects for Nell to be able to cross properly? And, you know, obviously naturally he will guide his dad, and so he can guide Nell. And, you know, it's just little things like that. I mean, he was guiding Paul when he was 3 years old. It was, you know, Paul had to take him to nursery on the bus. And so really, you know, although Paul did know the route, there was an aspect of Isaac was being his eyes for him, you know, at the age of three.
That is so incredible.
It is. Isn't that amazing? It is, bless him.
And let's talk about, like, a guide dog. Do you have a guide dog living with you?
No, Paul did have a guide dog called Luke. He was absolutely beautiful. He was gorgeous. So he did have a guide dog, but unfortunately he passed away when Nell was a couple of months old. So that was a really, once again, that was a really difficult time because he'd had Luke for quite a number of years. He'd had them. He actually had Luke just as I found out I was pregnant with Isaac. So it was like a double whammy of, like, we're going to have a baby and we're going to have a guide dog at the same time. So yeah, he'd had him for about nine, ten years. Yeah. So
I feel like I'm learning so much because I thought I genuinely didn't know about, in my head, I sort of thought that, you know, the Guide Dog Association, you just automatically had a dog that lived with you. Like, I thought that, and I didn't know necessarily about all of the extra care that comes with it. And actually you've got a mentor that supports you and, you know, looks after you and, you know, emotionally, mentally, all of that kind of stuff. It's an amazing thing that they do. An incredible resource. Yeah,
it really is. And I mean, obviously we're too busy as a family for Paul to have a guide dog at the moment. And we're sort of at the stage of where our children were going into full-time school. So we were both looking at our careers and where we were going. And that's been obviously had a bit of a halt on it now.
Yes.
We've locked down and everything. But I mean, he definitely would like to have a guide dog again when, you know, when possible, when the girls are maybe a little bit older and a bit more, you know, independent and things. And it's something that Nell, you know, has said that when she's older, she would love to have a guide dog because they do give you so much independence and just that, you know, that level of confidence as well. But it is also really important to learn to use a cane obviously beforehand. So that's the stage that Nell's at. And it's just given her such a new sort of even more newfound confidence. I mean, she's a very confident little person anyway, but it's just given her even more, you know, a newfound confidence of what she can do, you know, of how much she can go out into the world herself, you know, and explore things and find things. So, yeah, I mean, obviously just to say again that, like guide dogs have just been, you know, life changing for us, and also that it's amazing how much they actually do offer as well.
Yeah. And I just wanted to talk to you about, you know, Nell's relationship with other children. For me, I know that, you know, especially my son who's 4 at the moment, if there's somebody with something different about them, whatever it is, he's likely to point it out and speak about it very loudly. Yes. And as a mum, I don't know what to do in that situation. I try to explain to him, you know, whatever it is that he's pointing out, but equally I feel quite embarrassed, and I don't, you know, I don't want to cause a scene. How should we handle those sorts of situations? And how, you know, how does it feel for now? How does it feel for you?
Well, firstly, just to say, I completely get what you mean. I completely resonate with what you're saying. And I mean, the first thing I would say personally for us, you know, please don't be embarrassed. Children are children, and you know, my children are the same. You know, so, and also I feel like we've given now the skills almost of how to deal with that. We're really lucky. She is such a social butterfly. She literally loves people. She loves interacting with people. And I mean, being social is really important to her. I mean, she'll happily just say hello to strangers on the street, and you know, in a shop, she'll literally chat to like the person on the till, or you know, that sort of thing. So she's just naturally like that anyway. So I think that kind of helps her quite a lot. But we have had moments, obviously, in playgrounds and things like that, and children have said like, oh, you know, you've got a funny eye, or what's that cake, you know, what's that stick, and things like that. And she'll quite happily say, oh yes, I'm blind, you know, I've got special eyes, and I use a cane, it helps me get about because I can't see very well. So, you know, she's really good at speaking for herself and being quite matter of fact about it. And I think because she's like that, more than often, really, the children just kind of accept it and go, oh, okay then. And then, you know, off they go and play. I mean, honestly, I can't go to, obviously pre-COVID, but I couldn't go to a park and her not make friends with somebody, and I'm having to tear her away.
Isn't it? I love that.
surprisingly, it's actually her younger sister who is the sort of shy, she's quite shy, Martha is. She'll follow Nell's lead. We're quite lucky in the fact that they've both got quite different personalities. So like Martha is quite quiet and reserved, but she will happily guide Nell around, say, like a new, you know, play centre, or show her where, how you get up to the slides and things like that. Mm. She'll guide her, but Nell will be the one that will be like grabbing all the children saying, come on, follow us, you know.
Yeah.
and making friends with everybody. So
what sort of questions does Nell ask Martha? I mean, I imagine, well, actually, I'm thinking in my head that she's not asking what things look like, more about how they feel or where they are. Is that right?
Actually, no, she will say to Martha, what does this look like?
Wow.
Because Nell is a very tactile person. So she loves to feel things. She loves to be outdoors, exploring things. She literally asks me, like, you know, at least 100 questions a day about loads of different things. She's quite good with stuff like that. But I think it is more as she's unfortunately lost her sight quite a lot more as her sight's deteriorated, we have noticed she is asking quite a lot of questions about what things look like. And you know, we feel that's quite important, because as she gets older, we want her to have that image of, you know, in her head of what things actually do look like.
Yeah.
And how do you think lockdown has impacted her? Because obviously we're all going through it at the moment. We're in the middle of a global pandemic. Do you think that Nell has been particularly impacted? Have you seen a difference in any of the children just with what's going on? And missing out, you obviously said she was very social. So what other aspects do you think she's missing?
I think really just to sort of carry on from the social side of things, I mean, as all the children are, she's really missing her friends. She's really missing school. And I think she also enjoyed the idea of the routine of knowing what was happening from day to day. And I think that's something that she has slightly struggled with. I think it comes from when she was younger, really, when she was a baby. One of the best advice, one of the best like sort of parts of advice that I got was just talk to her, just literally tell her what you're doing, tell her everything you're doing. So I did. I literally used to just do a running commentary all day about what I was doing and where we were going and things like that. You know, and I think that is, I don't know whether it's like a soothing thing for her, but it's something that she's always resonated with, of like wanting to know what the routine was. And I think it's been quite difficult during lockdown to have a fixed routine. We do try to have some sort of routine, but with, you know, with three children all at different levels of learning, it's just really difficult. And some days you just think, no, it's just not going to go like that today, and we've just got to roll with it, you know.
Yeah. And so does Nell go to a mainstream school, or is she at a specialist school?
No, she goes to a mainstream school, our local primary school, and it is also a Welsh medium school, so it's a Welsh speaking school.
Right. So
that is something that has been quite difficult, because me and her dad, we don't speak Welsh. I've tried to learn since we've lived here, yeah. And I know little bits. I mean, really, her big brother is fluent in Welsh.
Wow,
so
amazing.
Yeah, so he's the one that can really help, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But that is something that we have struggled with. I mean, obviously we've got fantastic support from Nell's habilitation officer, Branwen, because she is Welsh, so she can help. And it's nice for Nell to have that interaction via Zoom in Welsh and be able to practice speaking her Welsh. And because obviously when they're in school, it's quite a natural thing for them to do.
Right, okay.
So, yeah, I was quite concerned that she might lose that kind of, you know, the progress she'd made with her Welsh, but she hasn't. She's doing fantastic. So.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
And what do you think we are doing really well in the UK around disabilities, and what areas do you think needs improvement?
I think one of the main things I would say that is really positive is just the awareness that is now coming out. You know, obviously the podcast that we're doing today, but, you know, just in mainstream media, it seems to be so much more just there, really. You know, awareness, but also, how can I put it? It being more of a natural occurrence.
Yeah.
I don't know whether that's the right way to put it.
Yeah.
You know, just obviously highlighting the guide dog advert that Nell was involved with. We were really, really excited to be involved with that, because yes, it was obviously highlighting that guide dogs help visually impaired children and their families and young people who are visually impaired. It also showed, you know, a normal little girl starting school.
Yeah.
You know, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think things like that are really important, and to have, you know, role models for people to look up to from every walks of life, and, you know, including every kind of disability. And I think we're definitely seeing a lot more of that, a lot more, which, you know, is quite exciting for Nell, really.
I mean, Nell sounds like she's a super confident, bright little girl. But what are you most worried about for her, you know, as she gets older?
I think at this moment in time, I think I would say I'm worried that her condition and the nature of her condition might affect her confidence. confidence. So she, as you say, she's super confident and she's, you know, a bright little thing. She really wants to be into everything. But just obviously the nature of her condition is that, you know, she could lose her sight completely, like her dad. And I, you know, I just really don't want that to impact on her, to feel like, you know, because she's maybe lost her sight, she can't do what she wants to do. Yeah. You know, our motto is, you know, there's always a way. You know, you might not be able to do this, but let's see what alternatives there are. And, you know, that's something I promised her from the word go. When she was born, everybody had gone. I had her on my chest and I promised her, I just said that I promise that you will be able to do whatever you want to do in life. I will help you do it.
That's amazing. What an amazing motto as well, just to... It just in life in general, I take that with me. I'm going to start saying that to my kids, because it's true. You know, there's going to be obstacles along the way. And I think as parents, as mothers, we're constantly worrying about our children all the time. Dozza says to me that I worry too much and it hasn't happened yet. But, you know, you do. Things run through your head constantly. You know, are they going to be okay? Will they be bullied? Is this going to happen to them? Is that going to happen? But we've only got today, haven't we? And that's all we can focus on in life. It's like grabbing hold of it and just full speed ahead, because no one knows.
No, exactly. And I think one of the things for Nell as well is that she naturally will ask, you know, like she's really into babies at the moment. She really wants to be a mummy. I'm trying to teach her, you know, get yourself sorted first.
Yeah.
Not right now.
All of that. Yeah, all of that. But she's, you know, she's naturally asking things of like, how will I do this with my baby because I can't see? So she's, you know, sort of, but, you know, it's great that she's asking these questions, because firstly, she feels that, you know, yes, I can be a mother. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, it's just how am I going to do it? So how am I going to push a pram when I've got like a guide dog or a cane? And, you know, and also we are really lucky, the fact that obviously her dad has gone through all of that and he can chat to her like how he had to try and change a dirty nappy and not knowing whether her bum was clean and things like that, you know, how he dealt with things like that. So, yeah, I think, you know, obviously as a parent, I'm, you know, constantly worried about all three of them, really. But for Nell, I think, you know, knowing that she has got that sort of attitude already, like at the age of five, that, you know, how am I going to do these things, I want to do these things, so how am I going to do it, you know?
She's going to be a good problem solver. She's going to be, cracking problems all over the place. Brilliant. Rachel, thank you so much for coming onto the podcast. I feel like I've come away, and I know Georgia feels the same, having learnt so much, and I know it's going to help a lot of people out there. So thank you for your honesty.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's brilliant. Please come back again. Let us know. I feel like we're going to be chatting to you in about 5 years' time. You'll be like, right, let's talk about Nell. She's smashing it.
Oh, thanks, Rachel.
Thanks, Rachel.
You're welcome.
Wasn't she just...
Yeah! Wasn't she great?
She was saying each other's words. I mean, I don't really know what else to say. She just was so inspiring and so upbeat and so positive. And it just, you hear these stories, we all go on about, you know, our daily struggles. And then when you put them into perspective,
yeah,
and you've got, you know, a child like Nell, like accomplishing all of this amazing stuff, and she, you know, she can't see, it just, I don't know, it just makes me think.
Yeah, it really made me think as well, actually. And like I said before, I feel like I came away really learning so much about that whole sort of side of life that I didn't necessarily know, and also just being a bit more armed with the right things to say. And, you know, we always have this trap between the two of us, George, that we really want to have all of the conversations, you know, race, body confidence, all of those sort of those conversations that maybe people might shy away from having. But actually, this is all about educating ourselves and our children.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what, who knew that guide dogs do so much other stuff other than providing actual guide dogs? I mean,
yes.
I just didn't know that at all. So I definitely learned something today.
Yeah, and me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we want to say a massive thank you to Guide Dogs as well for coming on board for this episode. We really hope you loved it. As always, please rate, review and subscribe to the podcast. And if you do have time to tell somebody that isn't listening to this podcast, please tell them to do it.
Yeah, please do. And any feedback you've got, please drop us a DM at Made by Mummers, and we'll be back on Friday.
We'll see you then. Can't wait.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.